Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, Monday Night Football actually turned out to be a good game in a shocking turn of events because, you know, I thought no Joe Burrow, that the Bengals were just not going to show up. And not only did they show up, but they got the win, too. Cincinnati won in overtime, 34-31. Now, I will say, the game took a total turn of momentum when the quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, for the Jaguars, he really fucked up his ankle. I mean, his lineman basically stomped on it by accident, of course, and then it got stuck behind him. And man, at first sight, it looked like it was going to be like a season-ending type injury. Turns out, it's only an ankle sprain, so that's good for him. But you could tell, you know, the Jaguars were actually driving at this point. I can't recall what the score was. I know it was close, and the Jaguars were in scoring position. And it looked like they were just getting ready to keep driving down the field, get some points. And then his injury happened, and it took the wind out of the Jaguars' sails. Not to say that the Bengals weren't playing a good game, because the Bengals were actually playing a great game all night long. But, I mean, just the way Trevor Lawrence was playing that night, he was playing great. As a matter of fact, he went 22 for 29, 258 yards and 2 touchdowns. So he was having a solid game before the injury. But the Bengals, they were able to hold it down. And, you know, they've got their backup quarterback, Browning, who had a phenomenal game. He went 32 for 37, 354 yards and a touchdown. So this game, he looked a lot more confident. He looked like he had a lot more of a grasp on the offense. Plus, they did have some guys back from injury as well on the offensive side of the ball. So he was able to take care of business. Joe Mixon was a huge part of why this team scored so many points. He had 2 touchdowns. And then Ja'Marr Chase, he got some big, big plays. I mean, they were pretty much every Ja'Marr Chase play was a big play, meaning like it was a first down, it was a big chunk play. There was one touchdown where it was just boom, right in the Chase, and he just, boom, just ran for a touchdown. He ended up with 149 yards and a touchdown. So overall, excellent night from the Bengals, and I was really shocked and surprised. But then you turn to the Jaguars side of the ball, and you go, y'all kind of got punked by a nobody quarterback. So there's still questions that surround the Jaguars because, you know, I believe in them, but there's just something about them where you look at them, you go, I don't really think they're a championship team just yet. And it's games like this that make me less of a believer in the Jaguars. Now let's get to the top 10 NFL power rankings for week 13. And we do have some shakeups. We actually have a new team in here, but we do have a lot of the same usual suspects, but we do have some shakeups beginning at number one. We have us a new number one this week. They have appeared at the number one position at numerous points on this season, but that would be the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 9-3. And, you know, they had the 3-game losing streak, but now they're on a 4-game winning streak, I believe. 3-4 something. They've won a bunch in a row, and they are not just winning, but they're kicking the shit out of everybody. So, and they beat the best team in the league last week in their home, and it wasn't even close. So you got to put the Niners at number one. Brock Purdy, he is having a great season. He's passed for 3,185 yards, 23 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions so far. And then, of course, Christian McCaffrey. The dude is the first running back on the season to eclipse 1,000 yards on the season. He's got 1,032, 12 touchdowns. He also has 429 receiving yards and 5 receiving touchdowns, so he's just getting it done in every single way, shape, and form. And then, of course, the defense is doing its job as well. They lead the league in interceptions with 15 interceptions, so the Niners are just playing the best football right now, and so I had to put them at number one. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, did not fall far. The Philadelphia Eagles overall record of 10-2. I mean, they were going to lose some. They have had so many close games this season, and you know, it's really just difficult to keep your losses at zero or one or hell, even two. So you know, they were going to suffer a loss at some point. So, and they got beat, but are the Eagles starting to show some cracks now and starting to show some weaknesses, especially on the defensive side of things? Because my question with them all season, even before the season started, was what's going to happen on defense, because it's a pretty old defense. And they were holding it down for a while, but these last couple of weeks, it's really starting to show. And they're really starting to get winded towards the end of games. So is this going to be something that hinders them over the last month? Because you don't want to start showing weaknesses or cracks at this point in the season. You need to keep it moving. And when you start to fall apart towards the end of the season, things usually don't work out for you in the postseason. You don't just magically turn things around. It's usually you have to play well in December, and then you still have to keep playing well on into the postseason. So we'll see if the Eagles, if that was just a hiccup, or if this is actually something that's going to hinder them the next month or so. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Baltimore Ravens, overall record of 9-3. They did just have a bye week this week, so they didn't really do much of anything, of course. But I mean, defensively, they are just getting it done. They lead the league with sacks, 47 sacks on the season. They have 11 forced fumbles and 11 interceptions on the season. So they're getting at the quarterback, they're forcing turnovers. And then on the offensive side of the ball, Lamar Jackson has had one of his best seasons he's ever had. And this includes his MVP season. His receivers are finally starting to catch passes, starting to be pretty consistent here. And the ground attack is also, you know, it's what it's their bread and butter. So this is a really damn good Ravens team. And I feel like they might be the team to beat in the AFC. I know we still have a month here, but they're pretty stout, if you ask me. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, my Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 9-3. And they finally got a solid win last week. They were able to, you know, make a comeback against a good team. Now let's see if they can carry it on, because this schedule does not get any easier. But it was nice to see them make a comeback and really stay consistent so far. I mean, Dak has just been lights out. This has been by far his greatest season of his entire career. So hopefully he's able to translate that into a nice little run here in December and keep it on moving into the postseason. Right now in the season, he's got 3,234 yards passing, plus 26 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. So he's keeping the interceptions at a minimum, which is huge, because last year he led the league in interceptions. He and Josh Allen both had the league lead on interceptions. So it's really nice to see that he completely turned that around. He seems to be in the zone and in a great rhythm. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Deron Bland has just been huge. Not only does he have the NFL record for interceptions, run back for a touchdown, which is 5 now, but you got to look at the other interceptions he's got on the season that weren't run back for touchdowns. He's got a total of 8 interceptions on the season, which leads the league. So we couldn't ask for a much better backup, and it's just going to be exciting once he and Diggs are both out there. But defensively, even though the Cowboys got blown up last week, they still were able to not let it affect them. They were able to hold it down in the fourth quarter, and it was nice to see them actually make a comeback against a good team. And we'll see what they got against the Eagles this week. Then at number 5 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Kansas City Chiefs. Overall record of 8-4. And the thing about the Chiefs is they don't seem to be progressing on the offensive side of the ball. It always feels like they make progress one game, but then they take a couple steps back the following game. And we still don't it feels like every time we have somebody who is going to step it up, another receiver who has a good game, then they disappear the following game. Like Rasheen Rice, where was he this week? But the week before, he was going for over 100 yards, and that just kind of seems to be the thing with the Chiefs. Now, lucky for the Chiefs, they're in the AFC. In the AFC, I feel like their only competition come playoff time is going to be the Ravens. Other than that, though, the AFC is terrible. So even though the Chiefs are starting to show cracks and they're not really progressing on the offensive side of the ball, They probably are going to go pretty far in the playoffs just because the AFC is so weak and they're such a put together team. And then, of course, you got Mahomes, and when you're led with Mahomes, you always got a shot at winning. But it just kind of seems like their offense is kind of stagnant. It's kind of plateaued, and it doesn't look like it's going to get better. So if they face a good defense like the Ravens have, shit might not look so good for them. But we'll see. There's still a month left. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Detroit Lions, overall record of 9-3. And man, their rookie tight end, Sam Laporta, if it wasn't for CJ Stroud, Sam Laporta would be an absolute shoe-in for the offensive rookie of the year. He's got 679 yards and 6 touchdowns on the season. And I mean, he seems to keep getting better with each and every game. So he's playing phenomenal. But like I said, unfortunately for him, CJ Stroud is having an even better year for a rookie. So I don't think Laporta's got a shot at the rookie of the year, but he definitely should be a name mentioned there. And if it wasn't for Stroud's amazing season, I feel like Laporta would be the dude who we're talking about for rookie of the year. But regardless, he's been a huge source of offense for Goff, and he's just been a great weapon, and it's been cool to see how his year has progressed on, because at first it seemed like he was, you know, just a dude out there, maybe making some blocks here and there, maybe make a couple of passes, but now he's really turned into like the go-to receiver, and he's doing really well. Then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Miami Dolphins, overall record of 9-3. And Tyreek Hill is the pace he's at. He's closing in on 2,000 yards receiving, which has never happened in the history of the NFL. So we could be breaking that record here in the next month. Right now in the season, he has 1,481 yards and 12 touchdowns. The guy is money. He should definitely be in the discussion for MVP. I mean, we all know the MVP award is usually reserved for quarterbacks unless you do something really, really out of control. I feel like if Hill hits 2,000 yards, he should be the MVP. I mean, in my opinion, if you took Hill off of this Miami Dolphins team, they would not even look half as good as they do. They might be okay. They might be have their heads above water, but they would not be as explosive as they are. I mean, Tyreek Hill outruns just about every single person on the field, it feels like. And, I mean, he's a big playmaker, too. It's not just a couple yards here and there. It's like 50-yard bombs, and he's gone. So he definitely deserves to at least be in the conversation for MVP. But in my opinion, if he breaks that 2,000-yard threshold, he 100% should win that MVP. Then at number eight on my top 10 NFL power rankings of the Jacksonville Jaguars, overall record of 8-4. You know, I mentioned the Trevor Lawrence injury, so that definitely, if he misses a few games, that could definitely mess things up for them, because not only are they, you know, trying to get the number one seed, but they still got to win their division. I mean, right on their heels are the Texans and the Colts. So this Trevor Lawrence injury is not coming at a good time, and so you got, if you're the Jaguars, you got to hope he doesn't miss more than one game, if even that. You probably don't want him missing any games because it's December, and like I said, you've got Houston and Indy right on their heels. I mean, they are right there, so they could potentially lose their division lead, and maybe even lose a wild card spot too. They can't afford too many losses here. Now, granted, they do have a lot of talent, but Trevor Lawrence has been a huge reason as to why they're so good this year. And if he's out, I wouldn't be shocked if they lost their grip on the division, that's for sure. Then at number nine on my top 10 NFL power rankings, we were just talking about him, the Houston Texans, overall record of 7-5. And not only did I just say that CJ Stroud is easily going to win this Offensive Rookie of the Year, but right now, currently, he leads the league in passing, 3,540 yards, and that says a lot, because, you know, he got Tua, who's been in the top three pretty much all season long in passing yards. He's been up there, but the Dolphins, though, they've just been lighting everybody up, whereas CJ Stroud, he's not on that type of offense. He is the offense. And, you know, he doesn't even have an offensive-minded coach. His coach is an ex-defensive coordinator, also used to play linebacker. So he comes from a defensive-minded coach, and he's still lighting shit up. So to see that not only Stroud is having a great season, but he leads the league in passing, and he's just getting better. It feels like each and every week he's got 20 touchdowns on the season and only 5 interceptions. So he's keeping the turnovers to a minimum. Now we'll see if the loss of Tank Dell affects him at all. It may not, because it didn't look like it did after the injury, but you never know how the rest of this month is going to go. But not only is he playing well, not only is this a brand new freaking team that we didn't expect to go anywhere, but they could potentially make the playoffs and potentially win their division. And then rounding out the top 10 NFL power rankings this week, I have the Green Bay Packers. Overall record of 6-6. And they've just got some really quality wins as of lately. I mean, and not only just quality wins against good teams, but they're playing well also. The quality wins, of course, were against Detroit a couple weeks ago and then Kansas City this week. Those are big wins. Those are good-ass teams. And you went into Detroit on Thanksgiving Day and kicked their asses. And then Kansas City, they didn't kick their ass, but they dominated the game the entire way. And Jordan Love, the last couple, you know, he's had his ups, he's had his downs, but right now he's up. And that last game, especially against Kansas City, I mean, he was dropping dimes. He was just delivering every pass perfectly. He had a fantastic game. So if he keeps playing like that, this Packers team has a real good shot at making the playoffs. I mean, they don't even their next month of football is against pretty shitty teams. So the Packers, I feel like, are going to be a team that's actually going to surge here and probably steal one of those last wild card spots in the NFC. And turning to Thursday Night Football, which is just a god-awful matchup. I mean, usually it's not this bad, but this year it's bad, and it is the New England Patriots at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Talk about no offense at all. I mean, these are two of the worst offenses in the league. Now, New England, I feel like they want that title of the worst offense in the league. It feels like each and every week they just get worse and worse and worse. Whereas the Steelers, they've had their moments. There's been moments where they've had their running back run for over 100 yards and take over a game. Or they've had big play receivers make big plays down the line. Whereas New England hasn't had one of those moments at all this season. So this is going to be an ugly-ass game. You know, New England lost last week 6-0. So that's how that went. This one, the Steelers' defense is one of the best in the league. So I kind of feel like they're just going to have whoever is at quarterback for the Patriots, because it's always up in the air now every single week. Whoever is at quarterback is going to be on their ass. Chances are there's going to be a couple of turnovers here. Wouldn't be shocked if the Steelers' defense actually scores a touchdown on it on some of these turnovers. But I do expect this to be a very, very ugly game. But I do have the Steelers winning 16-3. Oh, and if I didn't mention, the Steelers are favored by 5.5 right now. So, yeah, that's Thursday Night Football. Not much to say about that game. Just wow. Just when you think about the Patriots, it's just so weird. I mean, I know I've said it a couple times this season. It's just weird. Don't get me wrong. I'm enjoying it because, you know, we've had to endure all the years of them winning and winning and winning. And it's nice to see them on the downswing for once. I mean, it's going to happen to the Chiefs. Just so y'all Chiefs fans know, just let me predict the future for you. At some point, your Chiefs will start to suck too. Yeah, I know you're riding high with Mahomes and Kelce, and your team looks great right now. You guys are going to look just like the New England Patriots do right now. But give it a couple of years. But you'll be there too. It happens to all of us. You know, as a Cowboys fan, my childhood was fucking fantastic. They used to win all the time. They had 3 Super Bowl wins. And they weren't just wins. They would just absolutely annihilate teams. And they were a fantastic team. And now they haven't won shit in 1.5 million years, it feels like. So you'll be right there with us, Chiefs fans, but it's just weird to talk about the Patriots and have zero respect for them and even have zero expectations for them of even scoring a touchdown. It's weird. So let's take a look at the NFL playoff picture right now, see what where we're at for the next month. Beginning with the AFC, a few shakeups here with the Chiefs and the Jaguars losing over the weekend. The number one seed in the AFC right now is the Miami Dolphins. I don't really expect it to stay that way, but hey, good for them. They're number one. The number two seed right now is the Baltimore Ravens. Number three seed, the Kansas City Chiefs. And the number four seed, the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that's all the division leaders right now. Wild card spots in the AFC currently belong to the number five seed, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number six, the Indianapolis Colts. Number seven, the Cleveland Browns. And on the outside, looking in, we have the Houston Texans, the Denver Broncos, and the Buffalo Bills, and a few other teams still in the mix. It's gonna get pretty crazy here. I expect this seven right here to just keep switching each and every week. I feel like we're gonna have a new number one every week, and the wild card spots I feel like are up for grabs by any of those six teams that I just mentioned at the bottom there. Turning to the NFC, number one overall seed is still the Philadelphia Eagles. Number two seed, the San Francisco 49ers. Number three seed, the Detroit Lions. And the number four seed, the Atlanta Falcons. Those are the division leaders right now. Then the wild card spots are the number five seed, the Dallas Cowboys. Number six seed, the Minnesota Vikings. And the number seven seed, the Green Bay Packers. With the Rams, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the outside looking in. The Cowboys, shockingly, still have a shot at winning the division. It's an outside shot. It starts this week. They got to get that win this week. If they get the win, they've got a good shot. But so that could change there. And then you also have the NFC South with the Falcons leading it right now. That could also change at some point. And then the wild card spots, it feels like whoever wins the NFC East between the Eagles and the Cowboys, the second place team is for sure getting the top wild card spot. So those last two wild card spots are probably going to be switcheroos. And I feel like any of those bottom five teams that I mentioned could potentially get that wild card spot. Now let's turn to the NBA in-season tournament. We had a couple of games in the quarterfinals on Monday and Tuesday. So now we know what's going to happen in the semifinals. So let's begin with Monday night in the Western Conference quarterfinals. The first game was the New Orleans Pelicans versus the Sacramento Kings, and the Pelicans dominated this one. Brandon Ingram went off for 30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and even though Zion Williamson only had 13 points, it was really his defense and his presence in the paint that really made a huge difference. And I mean, the Pelicans, I don't know what's going on with this team. I don't know if it's going to last all season long, but healthy, they are a damn good team. You know, I've always been a huge fan of Brandon Ingram because he used to be a Laker. And then, of course, we traded him to New Orleans when we traded for Anthony Davis a few years ago. So that's why he's there. But I always was a huge Ingram fan. He plays hard every single night. And he's injury prone. That's usually his problem. But I mean, with the Pelicans, he's been that dude. Unless he's injured, he's been that dude. I mean, even over Zion, I feel like he's even more, you could count on him way more than you can Zion in a game. But the Pelicans have moved on to the semifinals in the in-season tournament. And then on Monday night, the Eastern Conference quarterfinals matchup was between the Indiana Pacers and the Boston Celtics. And the Indiana Pacers, talk about what the hell is going on with this team. Well, shit, they are just rolling. They rolled through the first half of this this in-season tournament, and then they just rolled over Boston. It wasn't even really a close game at all. As a matter of fact, Tyrese Halliburton had his second triple-double of his career, and he had 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 13 assists, so he had a career game at the perfect time. And, you know, I will say, I was not excited about this NBA in-season tournament. I thought it sounded kind of janky and stupid, but I will say the teams that are in it and the players that are in it, they're really playing hard. They're actually playing like this is the playoffs. They're playing like this is the finals and like they are actually going to be winning something. Now, granted, they actually technically are winning something, but it's really nice to actually see NBA players at this point in the season trying really hard, because usually the beginning of the season, it's kind of lax. That's why it's always up and down. You can't really gauge who's good until about February. And they always say the season doesn't really start till Christmas. So this in-season tournament, the teams that have played and the teams that are winning too, they are playing hard. And, you know, speaking of playing hard, we'll get to Tuesday night's Western Conference quarterfinals matchup between the Lakers and the Phoenix Suns. That was like a playoff game. It was a battle between two teams, and the Lakers just got the win 106-103. I mean, they got lucky. Kevin Durant, you know, sometimes he'll knock down the game-winning shot, but he did not get it last night. But the Lakers, they played great defense. They forced a bunch of turnovers, and they were just able to eke out this win. LeBron James had a fantastic game. He had a double-double with 31 points, 11 assists, and 8 rebounds, so almost had a triple-double. But it was his fourth quarter, man. He went off. He was involved in either the scoring of the points or assisting on the points in the fourth quarter run. So he really turned it on for the fourth quarter and just made some huge plays. And then Anthony Davis, not only did he have a great night offensively, he had a double-double with 27 points and 15 rebounds, but he had a great night defensively as well. So, and I mean, they really put it on the Suns defensively and forced so many turnovers last night. It was just crazy to watch how dominating they were. But like I said, it really felt like a playoff atmosphere, just kind of the way the Lakers were playing. And that's actually why I picked them to win this tournament, because so far they haven't lost a game in this tournament. But, you know, when LeBron goes into this type of playoff mode, it's usually a good thing. And you just usually see really great play on the court. And also Austin Reeves stepped it up as well. He's had a very shaky up and down season up to this point, and last night was a huge game for him, where he made a couple of huge plays in the critical moments, and the Lakers are moving on to the semifinals. And then the Eastern Conference quarterfinals matchup from last night was the Milwaukee Bucks versus the New York Knicks, and the Milwaukee Bucks absolutely dominated the Knicks from start to finish. They got the win 146-122. It was the best offensive performance of the season so far for the Milwaukee Bucks, and it was all about Giannis. He went off, had a double-double, 35 points, 10 assists, and 8 rebounds, so almost had a triple-double. And then Dame Lillard had 28 points, so they really went off offensively and had a pretty decent night defensively, even though the Knicks scored 122 points, of course. But, I mean, Giannis was just having a night. So the semifinals are going to be on Thursday night. So the Western Conference semifinals going to be between the Lakers and the Pelicans, which I think is going to be a very interesting matchup. I think the Lakers obviously have the edge because, A, we have LeBron, and if Anthony Davis keeps playing the way he's playing, then we should get it. But real talk, it's going to be, it's just going to be interesting to see, because I feel like a lot of people are overlooking the Pelicans now, and they're one of the best teams in the league. And I don't think it's a fluke that they are here in the semifinals. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Pelicans win it all, because the edge that they've got lately is defensively, and Zion has been fantastic in the paint so far this season. So I think it's going to be a great matchup, but you know I'm going with my Lakers in this one. And then the Eastern Conference semifinals matchup is going to be between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers. And the Bucks have just been smashing it lately. They get better each and every week. So I just kind of feel like the Indiana Pacers run is going to stop here. The Pacers have also had a very, very good season so far. They look really good, but it's just with them, we don't know. We don't know if this is for real. We don't know if this is just the beginning of the season, and they're just making that nice little run at the beginning of the season, and then they're going to start to fall off. They haven't been consistent yet. They haven't shown us anything yet other than they're pretty good right now. I do expect them to put up a fight, but I just kind of feel like Milwaukee's going to win this one almost as easily as they did against the Knicks. So those are Thursday night matchups. So we'll see where we're at on Friday and see who's playing for the championship in this NBA in-season tournament. So, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you all on Friday.